This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
One that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Oh! Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
All right, everybody, welcome to the current state of WWE. It is the 25th of March, 2024, as we are a week and, a week and a half to round it down a little bit from WrestleMania 40 as we now are in the home stretch. We're here to talk about something that I don't think a lot of people are considering. And really, I didn't consider until speaking with my co-host a little bit before the show. But I like where this could go. And I think there's some evidence to support it. And that is a possible double turn of Seth and Drew, as obviously you can see from the title of this episode. But Anthony, welcome to the show, man. We are in the home stretch.
Yeah, man, what are we, less than 2 weeks away? The WrestleMania Saturday is about a week and a half away at this point. And it just feels like the more and more that we get closer to WrestleMania, it feels like maybe they're planting some seeds for a potential, not a definitive, but a potential double turn between Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins. And obviously there are a lot of elements to this. Seth Rollins is pretty much pulling double duty right now, involved in the main event program on SmackDown while also being on the main event program of Raw. But a lot of their exchanges, I felt, is more heelish on the part of Seth Rollins. And Drew McIntyre is the one who feels like he's being disrespected week over week. And I'm thinking to myself, like, could they potentially be setting up to turn Drew back to babyface? Because in a lot of ways, although he is still a heel, there are a lot of endearing qualities to his character.
Yeah, there are. There's a lot of what he speaks is truth. That's the thing that about this heel character. He's not lying about anything. He's not even being that underhanded. He's being disrespected by Seth. He's been ignored largely on the road to WrestleMania by Seth because he's been so distracted about Cody and Rock and Roman that his attention has really been on that and not on his opponent, which is disrespectful, and they've brought that into the story. And I think it's something that Drew as a heel can really latch onto, but in reality, it's something that I think any of us would feel slighted by, that you're the number one contender going into a main event match at WrestleMania and the champion isn't even paying attention to you. That is something that is a very weird dynamic. I don't remember something like that happening in WWE, at least in recent memory. So it's a very fun, interesting dynamic, and one that you could make a case for Drew getting in front of Philadelphia and eventually, you know, doing that double turn. I just, you know, the argument against it is like, well, Drew has done such a nice job. He's done a fabulous job with this character. Do you even want to see it if they were to do it?
Well, that's a very good point, because Drew McIntyre is probably the most intriguing character in WWE right now. Maybe a lot of people would say Cody or Rock or Roman or whoever, but Drew McIntyre has so much nuance to his character. There's so much gray involved in his personality right now that do you want to upset the apple cart? But in some ways, I'm saying, like, do you even need to change Drew or the way he's behaving? Or could you just kind of start subtly tweaking Seth's motives and the way that he's acting towards Drew, and it's just going to organically get the fans behind Drew? Because for me, I'm saying I'm expecting Seth Rollins to take a break post-WrestleMania. I'm expecting him to lose the World Heavyweight Championship and Cody Rhodes to go over to SmackDown and be the main event babyface on that side. So I look at Monday Night Raw, and obviously we should expect like a superstar shakeup post-WrestleMania, as they always do. But I'm saying they'll probably need a Drew McIntyre as the top babyface. Maybe when CM Punk comes back, you want to keep him as a heel. And I could certainly understand that argument. But CM Punk is what, like, still 4 months away from returning? And between now and almost SummerSlam time, I'm saying, like, they're kind of setting up for having a Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre program for that world championship. And if that's the case, you'd want Priest to be the heel. So I don't know. Like, there's a lot of evidence to support, or a lot of reasons, I would say, to support keeping him a heel and not changing a damn thing. But I'm thinking, like, maybe you could have the best of both worlds where he still has this gray, nuanced character, but the crowd is just organically behind.
That's, you know, I'm struggling now with wanting to keep him heel, although it's early in his run. We're just getting the best part of it. He has come out with some of the best material of his career with this character that has slowly evolved into a heel. And he was flip-flopping back and forth for a while, but he landed eventually in the heel category and has done some amazing work, sold a lot of merchandise. And he's inadvertently funny with some of the things he said, and saying that CM Punk is like glass. He's so fragile and that, you know, constantly being injured. I mean, all of it's true, and being disrespected is true on the part of Seth. But you're right. As we look past WrestleMania, and I think this is a point I brought up too on my show last night, that I think that we're so focused on WrestleMania that it's usually the end all be all. But there's a lot to look forward to after WrestleMania. That this could be one of those things. Is if we have a babyface Drew, if we do, I think that you could even consider, you know, maybe if Gunther drops the IC, what about a Gunther and Drew rivalry for the World Heavyweight Championship? I know it's rushing it a little bit, but that is something that is eventually going to happen. Drew finally also gets that moment. I think fans are going to cheer him organically no matter how they try to position him, by the way, at WrestleMania. I think the fans recognize what this means to Drew and that he was screwed out of that moment 4 years ago. So I think that there is going to be that support regardless. But yeah, there's a lot you could do with a babyface Drew. So, like, I mean, honestly, I won't be mad no matter really what they do. My hope, though, is that, like you have mentioned, this nuanced character, this kind of like in between, but he's landed on heel character with the way his personality has evolved. I hope they don't change anything. I don't even know if they need to, if moving forward, whether he wins the championship or not. So there's a lot to look forward to post WrestleMania.
Well, when I look at reasons to keep him fully positioned as a heel, the only thing that for me suggests to do that is because of CM Punk and him injuring CM Punk and his ongoing, you know, just hilarious behavior towards CM Punk. We're probably going to get an exchange from them tonight on Monday Night Raw in Chicago. But besides that, I'm saying if Seth might take a backseat for a bit post-WrestleMania, and Cody's going to go over to SmackDown, Damian Priest has the Money in the Bank briefcase. They've already planted seeds in the past for a Damian Priest, Drew McIntyre program. I think they've even had a match on Monday Night Raw. Damian Priest costed Drew McIntyre the World Heavyweight Championship a few months ago on Monday Night Raw. I think that was the first Raw of 2024. I could see that being the main event level program between Mania and SummerSlam, and having Drew as the babyface, or just, but not like going completely back to like the Scottish warrior gimmick, but just keeping his current attitude, but just with not as much of a dark spin on it. I don't know. I think I'd like to see that. But at the same time, like you said, we've been what, only like 3-4 months in to the Drew McIntyre new version of himself. So Do you want to risk upsetting the apple cart? For me, this is a good thing that we're even having this conversation, because it shows how many layers Drew McIntyre has to his character.
Layers that we didn't know existed, layers that we didn't know we wanted, and now we've got it. And again, you're right. I don't need to see his sword coming to the ring and pretending to use it, but never using it. And you're right, the Scottish warrior, we've seen it. Been there, done that. I mean, really, we saw that for what, 5 years? I mean, it was a long time with that character, a successful one. But it has kind of run its course. And this evolution of Drew, we've all enjoyed. And I think that you're right. With Damian Priest floating around, I don't think the fans are going to gravitate towards Damian Priest. So I think that is a great rivalry that you could pick up right away. Cody goes to SmackDown. You need to top babyface for Raw. Drew could be that guy. I just wonder, let's play this out. If this were to happen, how would you really strategize it in that match? Doing a double turn is one of the most difficult things to do. And it's the concern is that there's not a lot of organic support at this moment of people are starting to cheer Drew and boo Seth. It's pretty solidly in the heel and babyface lane. So if you were to concoct this and execute it at WrestleMania, like, how would you have this match go? Like, and what's the finish to get them to a double turn? It's really difficult to do and execute, successfully.
Well, I think you would have to start planting the seeds from the night before, not to say that Seth has to turn on Cody, but maybe Seth's antics, like post-match with, let's say, I'm expecting them to lose, very early prediction there. But then maybe on night, because that match is night two, correct? Yes. Drew versus Seth. So maybe when Seth comes to the ring, he's saying, like, he continues the same, I guess, behavior, the same rhetoric that he's been spewing for a few weeks. Like, Drew is secondary. He's at the back of his mind. He doesn't even consider him a threat. And maybe if you keep playing that audio, or they catch the audio, what do they do there with the hot mic where you can catch the wrestlers talking mid-match?
Mm-hmm.
Have the hot mic catch Seth pushing that kind of stuff and acting differently towards the crowd. And then just maybe, I think the biggest part about all this would be if there's an opportunity for Drew to cheat to win, maybe with an interference from the outside or something, and Drew foregoes that and maybe fights off people trying to injure Seth, or like elects not to use like a chair to win, or just something like that. Just little subtle things to show that all Drew cares about is making up for the moment that was taken away from him, that was taken away from him 4 years ago. Little things like that. Not to say that Drew has to come out, like you said, swing his sword or pandering. Keep that edge to him. The edge is what is making him so awesome right now. But just do little things, even on the side of Seth, that just have the crowd inherently start to get behind Drew.
And, you know, I'm not trying to pivot to The Rock, but just a quick analogy to the current character, The Rock. He's a heel, but I would argue he's a bigger babyface with this character than he would have been if he was just Dwayne Johnson in his, you know, his track pants. I mean, in other words, I wouldn't change a thing, because sometimes the heel character is actually what the people want as a babyface character with some minor tweaks. So you're right with Drew. It's so fun with the way he's speaking. His promos are different. His cadence, obviously the things he said about praying for things and making them happen. And it's all been damn brilliant. So I wouldn't change really anything other than, you don't want to run the crowd down in every city you go to, but you're right, during the match, showing he's got a little bit more integrity. He wants to do it the right way. He doesn't want to take the easy way out. That's led him really to this point, lucking into a lot of wins. And you want to show that integrity. And I think if you do that, the fans might get behind him. Not going to boo Seth, but I think in that moment, you could have Drew cleanly beat Seth, which is how I would actually do it at WrestleMania. And then you have the moment where I think most fans will cheer. You'll hear a little booing, but I think there'll be a lot of cheering. And then Seth, maybe even after the night before, he loses that tag team match. Now he loses this match and he snaps. And he ends up just attacking Drew McIntyre from behind, trying to brutalize Drew McIntyre, taking him down. I mean, after Drew has had a moment to celebrate, of course. And then the fans, I really think the fans might turn on Seth, given the fans know that this moment has meant so much, and the fans wish they could have been there 4 years ago. I mean, you think about where he was and how much the fans were waiting for that, and the Brock Lesnar moment and all that was taken from him because of COVID. I really believe that if Seth attacks Drew after he wins, that could be, I think, effective.
I think so as well. I really do. And because for Seth, like, he's been a babyface for a year and a half now, and I don't even know that, like, you have to necessarily turn him as well, but I think you'd be more impactful. And, well, the other thing is do you think Seth is going to go away for a bit post-WrestleMania?
I think he should. I don't know if he will, but I agree. I think he should. And if he has any of these ailments, no better time to get yourself fixed than right after WrestleMania.
Yeah. And I do feel like we're a little Seth'd out a bit.
Yeah.
Like, and it's nothing against him. The guy's been a workhorse. I loved what he's brought with the World Heavyweight Championship. A bit of an overcorrection, but I still rather that than what we're seeing with Roman Reigns. And, like, to me, honestly, I just think that a little time away would give people a chance to, like, want him back more, because it's been so Seth, so much, so all the time, and he has made Monday Night Raw become Monday Night Rollins. Like, 2022, 2023, he dominated Monday Night Raw scene, along with Cody Rhodes, but it was mostly him. Whether it was his runs with the U.S. Championship or the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth has done an amazing job the last 24 months holding down that brand. But I do think that it's time to give Drew McIntyre another chance to take that torch. Like, he was the face of Monday Night Raw for the entirety of the COVID era and did a damn good job of it. Unfortunately, he did in front of nobody. And I really think that as we enter 2024, it somewhat feels like a change of the guard here. And, like, for me, like, you still have CM Punk that's going to come back sometime in the summertime. But I feel like the next, like between now and SummerSlam, you could center the main event scene of Monday Night Raw around Damian Priest and Drew McIntyre, something that feels fresh to two guys that, well, Drew McIntyre has had his time in the sun already, but Damian Priest is a budding superstar, and then to say nothing of Gunther. So not to say that Seth can't get back there, but I just feel like right now there's an opportunity to push newer, fresher talent into that role.
And, you know, I do wonder if Seth doesn't go away, maybe he decides he elects to stay and the WWE agrees. I think they could still do the double turn if Seth retains, because I think there's an opportunity there where fans are ready to see the championship move on. I think it's a natural just progression. It's a natural cycle. We've kind of been Seth'd out, as you said. I think that even if Drew loses, which I would not advocate for, but this would be plan B, is you still could have Seth retain with Drew losing and just sulking and just, you know, getting emotional over the loss. And maybe Seth did it in a way that was a little bit on the heel side, or, you know, could you see that where the fans would just at that point kind of being like, man, that was Drew's moment again. How do you take that away from him? And so Seth would retain, Drew loses, but you still get the result you want of Seth starting to turn heel, where the fans start to get back, you know, on Drew's side. Do you think that's even a remote possibility?
To get the fans back on Drew's side?
Yeah, if he loses the match and Seth retains.
No, I mean, I think that if you have him lose again, that's three matches in a row that he'll lose to Seth Rollins. I don't know if that you could really recover from that. Like, I don't know if you could get anyone to buy into your character anymore. Like, to me, I think it's absolutely a testament to Seth Rollins that he was able to rebound and carve the path he has over the last 18 months after losing three consecutive times to Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. I think losing three consecutive matches to someone is like a nail in the coffin in like that current version of yourself in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Like the only time that I can remember, but even then when it happened between Batista and Triple H, Batista beat Triple H three times in a row and Triple H went away for a few months. And when he came back, he didn't win a world championship for, I think, like 3 years or something. So when you lose three times in a row to someone in a major program in the main event scene, I think it's like kind of like a nail in the coffin for the foreseeable future of you being like the top dog of the industry.
Yeah, three is kind of the magic, like you said, in a row. It's one thing to win one, lose one, and then lose the blow off. At least you got a little bit of some victory you can hang your hat on. When you lose in a row, that's definitive. There's no room for an argument for you there. And that is, you're right, very definitive with Seth losing to Cody three times in a row that they haven't yet revisited. But yeah, this is, it's just fun to think about. Now, when it comes back down to reality, when it comes to April 7th, when it comes to that actual match, do I think they're going to do this? Probably not. But there's a lot of evidence that I hope we've given you guys an opportunity to think about of this could happen. And we're not saying it's going to, but if you're looking for a double turn, if you're looking for at least the start of a turn, doesn't have to be all in one match that it happens. This could be the beginning of that. Now, you know, I guess the follow-up question would be, if this doesn't happen, Drew stays a heel, but he wins and he's just the heel champion, which I'm still all for. Cody is inevitably going to win that championship from Roman. He has to go to SmackDown. If Drew doesn't win, or I'm sorry, he does, but he doesn't turn babyface, just stays a heel. Who is that next babyface on Raw that could replace Cody Rhodes? I mean, that's like one of your top faces of Raw going over to SmackDown. Obviously, Jade Cargill signed with SmackDown. It seems like no one wants to go to Raw. Maybe Braun Strowman returns. Let's hope not. but really, that who do you think could take Cody's place on Raw?
Well, I think LA Knight has a one-way ticket to Raw. I think that he's going to go over there in the draft. I just feel like, well, we've seen it since the Royal Rumble. Like, how buried has LA Knight been on SmackDown? It's unfortunate. You know what? I appreciate that they're trying to still build that program with him and AJ through like video packages and promos and whatever, but they've been buried. And I think LA Knight going to Raw would take that position. I mean, you could maybe send Bobby Lashley over there, but you've been there, done that with Drew and Bobby Lashley. I'm trying to think, you could elevate, I mean, could you elevate Sami Zayn? Him and Drew have had their issues in the past. What are you doing with Gunther? Is he going to turn babyface maybe? Like, he's already a babyface in a lot of ways already. I mean, there you have some options. But Cody's a massive name that's going to go to SmackDown. And then if Seth takes a back seat, it isn't as easy as just saying, like, okay, we're going to push this guy. Like, you need major name value to take those spots. And look, I imagine that if you keep Drew as a heel, eventually that spot is going to be filled by CM Punk. There's a built-in storyline already that he was supposed to be in the main event, presumably for the World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania before the injury. So for me, I'm saying that in the interim, I would probably go the way of LA Knight.
That's a very solid decision. Yeah, and also that's kind of another guy I feel for, because he was on fire, and he's made the LA Knight has made the case that he's out the one that actually made wrestling cool again before The Rock said he did, which there was some truth to that. LA Knight was bringing a lot of Attitude Era fans back. He had the support of the crowd. He was on fire. And then, of course, he gets absolutely dumped on after losing to Roman Reigns. And then we had Randy Orton return. We had CM Punk return. You know, and then obviously you go off to WrestleMania, and he's not in a U.S. title match. He doesn't get a ton of mic time like he did before. Crowd still is with him, but he doesn't feel as hot. I think he could be absolutely rejuvenated, and we could get back to the LA Knight story in a big way post-WrestleMania. But the question is, you know, outside of a trade, I wouldn't wait for the draft. It seems as if the draft still is slated for, you know, September timeframes. That seems to be when they've done it most of the time. So that would have to just be a straight up, you know, major trade announcement post WrestleMania. Cody obviously is in SmackDown, and sure, CM Punk could be there. But the problem with Punk is, yeah, he's proven he's already fragile. He's older. You know, he's not going to be wrestling every week. LA Knight's no spring chicken either. He's 40 years old, but he has a little bit more gas in the tank to be able to carry the brand and be a big name on the show. So, while LA Knight's not the equivalent of Cody in terms of star power right now and crowd support, is as good as you're going to get of a replacement for that move over to SmackDown for Cody. So yeah, I think that would be a lot of fun for LA Knight coming over after he finishes his program with AJ Styles. And to be fair, I'm more excited about the AJ Styles LA Knight match than I thought I would be, but it's not where I would have placed LA Knight to be fair.
And that's no slight on AJ Styles, but like, you just expected LA Knight to be involved for a championship. And like, you can make the case that this feels more legitimate than putting him in the US championship match in the triple threat, because this actually has some teeth to it. They've been telling this story for several months with AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is no slouch, right? Like, he's been one of the better WWE superstars for the past 8 years, main eventing several WrestleManias in his own right. It's just, for me, when I look at what's going on the landscape right now, specifically on Monday Night Raw, it feels like there are bigger fish to fry for LA Knight to go over to Monday Night Raw. Like, it feels like that's something that has to happen, right?
Mm-hmm. No, I can't think of a more logical move than having that happen for LA Knight and coming over to Monday Night Raw with obviously Cody going over to SmackDown. The question I have, though, is, what do you think with CM Punk obviously on Raw tonight? What is his role at WrestleMania? I mean, I don't think it's going to be in the match, but you have CM Punk there. Is he there to just say, I'll be ringside, I'll be nearby, I'm the special referee? He's still got triceps that aren't fully healed. He's several months away from being cleared. To me, it's obviously something to tell fans he'll be at WrestleMania. But do you think that he can actually perform a special referee? What would you do with Punk at WrestleMania?
Honestly, I feel like he has to stay out of this match with Drew and Seth. Like, I already feel like there's just too much going on and running interference on this match, like taking away from just the two competitors involved in it. So I would keep him away. I think it's good to keep him in the minds of fans. Maybe he could have an exchange with Drew tonight. Maybe him show up and cut a promo at WrestleMania on night one or what have you. Maybe make him have an encounter with The Rock at WrestleMania on night two, something to that effect. But for me, I wouldn't have him directly involved in the World Heavyweight Championship match in any capacity, because you have to focus on Drew and Seth, because they're already losing that attention because of the tag team match on night one.
Yeah, you're probably right. I mean, I wouldn't have really for either championship match, whether it's the Undisputed or the world title, there should be nobody that actually is outside of the outside interference determining the outcome directly. You know, like I think we've made that point specifically with the Roman match, you know, that the person the two people in the match should be the only ones deciding the final outcome, that it shouldn't be somebody with brass knucks or like last year with Solo Sikoa, or like you said, CM Punk hitting, getting involved with Drew here physically. I don't want any of that. It should be, in my mind, it's WrestleMania. It's not that time for shenanigans. It should just be those two men competing who's the best. But one last thing I'll say about LA Knight that I was going to make a point on is, you're right, him involved in some kind of multi-person match, say it was for the U.S. title, you could claim, okay, he's great, he's in a title match, but I think there's a lot of value and something to be said for a one-on-one match at WrestleMania. To say that, even though I know it's not for a title, it's just a grudge match, which still can be fun, to say that you are having a one-on-one match at WrestleMania does say a lot about the company having a lot of faith in you, that you don't need any kind of additional support. You don't need a crutch. You don't need a tag team partner. You don't need to be involved in a battle royal, none of that. Like, it's actually, in a way, almost a bigger deal that he's in a one-on-one than he is, and even if he's in a multi-man, you know, fatal four-way triple threat match for the U.S. title.
Well, it's because I find like he needed a program that actually felt legitimate and had substance. And that's what it feels with AJ Styles. And I feel like this version of AJ Styles has been awesome. Like that promo he caught that he cut a few weeks ago where he said, "And I am a phenomenal choice to do it." Mm-hmm. That was one of the best AJ Styles promos of all time, in my opinion. And I think that, again, like in a different circumstance, they would be getting more of a prominent position. But they've been buried down the SmackDown card. And I think that's one thing is like, do you not feel every SmackDown feels very crammed and tight for time lately?
Yeah. Yeah. Big time. Big time. Yes. And that's even with before The Rock took 40 minutes up a few weeks ago. Yes.
Yeah. And then they're adding Bron Breakker. They're adding Jade Cargill. Like there's a lot of talent on SmackDown that could do wonders on Monday Night Raw. Like I think just the two factions of the Final Testament and Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, like it hasn't been good so far. But I like all the talent involved. And for me, like, could you not see, like, just transplanting that exact program with all that talent over to Monday Night Raw would just breathe fresh life into it because they just have more time?
We're at the point now where I think SmackDown is at capacity, like no more room at the inn, right? Like no vacancy. There's nobody. No, I don't think that there is. It's going to benefit anybody to bring more stars on because you know what it's going to do. It's going to keep pushing out the next guy in line or the lowest man or lowest woman on the totem pole. Now they don't get a whole lot of time because the bigger stars need more time. And like it creates kind of a cannibalistic product where you aren't able to focus on new talent because you're always bringing in these bigger stars that need more attention. And yeah, like. It's at capacity, like you're right. Bron Breakker coming in. We obviously a newer star on the main roster. You're going to want to give him a lot of attention. Jade Cargill has yet to really even get going. And then you're going to bring in Cody Rhodes. I mean, there's three big stars coming in and nobody going out. You have to bring, like you said, Street Profits, Bobby Lashley, Final Testament. You could do a lot with them on Raw that has a 33% more time on the show. And a lot of times you look at them and go, oh, that was a filler match. That was a filler match. There's no filler on SmackDown. So take the men and women that aren't being given more than 3 minutes a show on SmackDown and put them over to Raw. Just do some trades. It doesn't have to be a full blown draft. You could just take the guys and gals that aren't getting a whole lot of attention and put them over to Monday Night Raw. And I think that it'd be a good formula.
Yeah. And I think because you look over on SmackDown, like, this is even with like two part-time singles champions. They're having this time issue with two part-time singles champions. What happens when you have full-time singles champions there, the U.S. title and the world title? What happens if you get a tag team title over there? Like the tag team titles have pretty much lived on Monday Night Raw since what, WrestleMania of last year, since Kevin and Sammy won them away from the Usos. Like there's a lot of evidence to suggest or support rather what you're saying that there is no more vacancy there. And I just think that, well, I just want to zero in a bit on that program between Bobby Lashley and Karrion Kross. Like, do you have any hope that this could be salvaged?
I do, but it's got to happen quickly. No more fooling around. You can't, you know, start have some really fun promos, you know, some vignettes that get you intrigued, have a match, and then they stop for like 4 weeks and they re-go. Like, you can't do that. You got to just pull the trigger. And so I think there is something to be salvaged, but they got to do it immediately or fans aren't going to give a damn.
And like, it's like you bring back the Authors of Pain and like just to have them do this. And even the Street Profits, like the wind has been taken out of their sails so much. And did I not hear that there was a name for their faction? I've heard it on and off through like the wrestling community online, but have you heard that their faction name is actually called the Pride?
Oh, that was one of the things. Yes, I've heard that one floating around, but nothing's official. I mean, so that, sure. I mean, if I don't care, honestly, whatever the name is, that's not as important as what they do and how often they're on TV and how much I care about their characters. I mean, sure. I mean, if you have a terrible name, like the Sorority Sisters, I mean, remember that? I mean, things that they just aren't, you know, self-aware enough to understand that is a bad idea. Outside of that, I mean, the name can be, it usually is a non-factor when it comes to the overall success of the storyline, but it just comes down to time. Bobby Lashley and the Street Profits, I mean, they don't know what to do with them. They were kind of babyface, then they surely went heel, then they went back to babyface out of convenience. They get no mic time. We don't know what their mission is. They you know, we don't even see them have conversations backstage. They're just kind of together. But there is time to resurrect them because there's a lot of talent on that six-man team with Bobby and Angelo Dawkins and Montez Ford. And then, you bring AOP back, who that's a, to me, a big signing. And I have some great memories of him and them and Seth Rollins in the back of a truck when Seth turned heel. I mean, I remember that was one of the best moments. And then obviously they got injured and went away. But I think having AOP come back and then having not do anything with him, Paul Ellering barely gets any time to talk. It's just there's a lack of attention and time dedicated to this. And that's really not overcomplicating it. I think that's just simply the problem.
Yeah, because I like Karrion Kross, I like AOP, but it's just they haven't invested enough screen time for us to be invested. Like, why is AOP with Karrion Kross? Like, it makes no, like, have we even gotten a reasoning as to why they came back to join Karrion Kross?
None. I've got no reason. And you know, I was thinking to myself, I thought I heard along the way over the last few months that maybe SmackDown's going to 3 hours. So I've been kind of looking, I'm doing some research just over the last couple minutes. And there are articles out there on big name sites that there are a lot of wrestling journalists, analysts, whatever you want to call them, that are expecting SmackDown to go to 3 hours. And if that's the case, if SmackDown is going to go to 3 hours, then it is plausible that they're going to keep this roster, because then the roster on SmackDown is really more tailored to a 3 hour show with how deep their roster is and how much more star power that they have than Raw. And you have Raw, obviously, that looks like a SmackDown roster. So with Raw going to Netflix, SmackDown could be positioning itself to be a 3 hour show. So maybe that's the reason they're kind of stacking the SmackDown roster to set it up for a 3 hour show sometime later this year.
If they went to 3 hours, you know, it's crazy. I think we had this discussion a few weeks ago, but we were always clamoring under Vince to make Raw go back to 2 hours. But now it's just like, no, I think SmackDown has to go to 3 hours. And I don't even think that's a bad thing at this point, because they have a ton of talent. This is the most stacked the roster has been in probably close to 20 years. And for me, I'm saying like going to 3 hours is a good thing for SmackDown.
Hell yeah. And we haven't even seen, I mean, Charlotte's coming back too. I mean, we got Charlotte. We got like four massive stars that there doesn't feel like there's enough room right now. Add these four people into it. I mean, it's just, to me, now that I think about it, it does seem like they are setting the platform for a 3 hour show. This particular article, I'll give the credit where it's due, Ringside News, says that WWE reached a deal with USA for television rights to SmackDown, signaling the conclusion of the show's run on Fox. So USA is picking up SmackDown later this year for their start of their 5 year contract. So I don't know what later this year is. I think it's in July, because I believe SmackDown started in July with the infamous Brock Lesnar taking the title from Kofi, which was one of the more brilliant moments and best moments I've seen. I know it was July 19th. I remember that on SmackDown when they first went to Fox, The Rock and King Corbin and all that. But so that would make sense if this is true, that USA is picking up SmackDown for a 5 year contract. Going to 3 hours kind of makes sense if Raw's going to Netflix.
Isn't it crazy that they're already leaving Fox? Remember how big of a deal that was 5 years ago when they went to Fox?
Huge. It's just, yeah, that is pretty amazing. And considering the fact that Fox, I don't know whether they don't have as much interest or they're not willing to pay as much money or whatever the case is, the ratings have done nothing but, especially over the last couple of years, go up. I mean, so WWE has all the leverage here. I mean, they have outperformed compared to what they were when they got the Fox contract to begin with 5 years ago. They're in even a better spot now. So Fox must have either not cared, moved on, and have a bit different strategy, whatever, or USA is just like, we're going all in. If we're losing Raw because they're going to Netflix, we need a WWE show on our network, and we'll pay top dollar. We'll outbid Fox. We're getting SmackDown. So maybe they just went all in and broke the bank.
Yeah, I guess so. Like, USA has kind of been synonymous with WWE for, what, 30 years or whatnot? Yeah. Like, I remember there was that brief period in the Attitude Era. It was TNN, then went to Spike, I think.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah. And then it went back to Fox. I remember they even did it. They called it Raw Homecoming.
Yep.
And it was the Monday Night Raw. I believe it was in 05, where Stone Cold stunned the entire McMahon family. And it actually led to JR getting fired the following week on Monday Night Raw.
It's so funny. Yeah, that is, it was in 05, because I remember I was down in I was down on Myrtle Beach, South Carolina for college, sitting there. And that was obviously a couple months before Eddie Guerrero passed away. I mean, obviously a year we'll never forget, with a lot happening that year. But yeah, that was exactly right. The homecoming, Austin stunned everybody. Linda McMahon took one of the worst stunners of all time, not to be outdone, of course, by Vince McMahon at WrestleMania 38. So that's exactly right. They made a huge deal about it. It just feels like USA is WWE's home. I mean, it just feels right. That relationship feels right. So, anyway, back to our kind of wrapping up conversation here. If SmackDown's going to 3 hours, then all this talent coming over right now and it feels completely imbalanced will make a lot more sense in just a couple of months if it is July in which the contract with Fox runs out. So,
yeah. So, and I think in Canada, all of the content is going to Netflix. If I'm not mistaken, I think Raw, SmackDown, and the network really? Is all. I think so, because I have to plan now how I'm going to shift around my subscriptions and my cable and everything. I'm one of those weird guys that still has cable because of sports. But how it's being positioned with Netflix now moving forward in Canada, I think, is even more complicated than it is for you guys down there in the States.
Yeah, that does sound a little bit. I mean, there are people, I mean, you still have cable companies who come after you, but it is all streaming. And honestly, when we add up all of our subscriptions and how much we're paying, it's now comparable to how much our cable bill was.
100%.
So, you know what I mean? Like, we're like, oh, well, I only pay $20 a month. It's like, yeah, but then you do HBO Max, you do Hulu, you do Paramount, you do Disney, you do, you know, all these things. And all of a sudden you're paying $200 a month. Yeah. So like, I mean, there is that argument, but, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting over the next few months. And I know we have our annual, sadly, our annual release by WWE. I think it's, they call it like Black Tuesday or something. That's like I think it's mid-April. A week or two following WrestleMania, they have their annual kind of releases. And I hope that either maybe they won't do it this year, or that you know, we don't have any crazy cuts going on. But that is always something to consider. If you haven't seen a star in a while, they could be on the chopping block after WrestleMania when they typically do the cuts. So, all right. Any wrap up thoughts here?
I guess all I would say is that of all the matches, I think I'm actually looking forward to Drew and Seth the most, because I'm looking forward to Drew's like reception if and when he wins. And I guess that's why I really wanted to discuss those two tonight.
No, it's a fair point, and one that I think, just as Seth is doing, the fans aren't paying a ton of attention to this because all the air is being sucked out of the room by Rock, Roman, and Cody, and obviously Seth in the tag match. So yeah, this is something that I think we should start focusing on in WWE. Hopefully the last 2 weeks here of the go-home shows should really continue to focus on. Don't talk about The Rock. Don't talk about Roman. Just talk about the world title. And they did it last week, and they need to continue that this week. I think that'll help things along. And my wrap up thought is, I don't care if they're trying to do a double turn or not. I believe the fans, when Drew gets that moment, and he should, the fans will cheer Drew simply out of respect. I mean, regardless of how his heel character is at the moment, I think just simply out of respect and, you know, for the human being of Drew, I think that they will cheer him. There'll be some boos mixed in, but I generally think the fans will understand what that moment means to him in real life. And I think that'll trump anything that's going on in the story. So, yeah. And don't forget, guys, this past week, we got the latest After Dark show by Anthony that was exclusive on Apple Podcasts and on Patreon. And this week you covered, it was Survivor Series 03. Is that correct?
Yeah, Survivor Series 03. I watched it beginning to end last week. what a pay-per-view. You know, Team Austin versus Team Bischoff, Undertaker versus Vince buried a live match, versus Shane in an ambulance match, Team Angle versus Team Lesnar, Triple H versus Goldberg. Just a great match and one of those pay-per-views that, like, you don't realize how unique it was when you actually go back and watch it beginning to end.
No, it brought back a lot of great memories for me. I mean, I don't know how there are certain memories or certain pay-per-views that will forever stick in my mind. This is one of them. Team Austin and Bischoff, what was on the line? You know, you think Austin hits Randy Orton with the stunner, and then here comes Batista. An epic performance by Shawn Michaels, but he gets the Batista bomb, 1, 2, 3, and loses the match. And that was obviously the start with the Bury Alive match of the Return of the Dead Man with Kane burying Taker, and that led to a WrestleMania 20 match between Taker and Kane for the second time. And so many, like you said, Kane and Shane McMahon, just what a hell of a pay-per-view. I mean, one that I think that a lot of people should go back and realize how good that was back, my God, 21 years ago. So, all right. Well, thanks so much for joining me. The next time we chat, we'll be talking about WrestleMania just over a week away. So I'm looking forward to it, and I hope you enjoy the rest of your night.
You too, man. Take care.
You too.
Thanks for listening to the WWE Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEPodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE Podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.